So the title of it is, what is it? The Danger of the Golden Age. What is the title of it? Okay, the Danger of the Golden Age. Have you heard about something like that early today or early this week or past week, Golden Age? Have you heard about that? I think it's in the news. Everybody heard about that. Golden Age. And this is the time that we live in it. Golden Age. So let's see what God has for us as we're going to go into this study, this message. So the Bible, this is what I put here. Everyone is aware that we are truly living in the last days. Am I correct? We should be aware of that. That we are at the crossroads, one leading to heaven, one the other to perdition. This message is one that wants you to pay attention to the frightening events that are taking place around us. Those who have no biblical knowledge on prophecy will have no understanding of the events, the frightening events. They will sleep even in the frightening events, and they will slumber. And I'm telling you, the majority of the church members are sleeping or slumbering. But God has placed in his church watchmen to sound the trumpets. You can take away the S if you want. And to give it a certain sound. So, brothers and sisters, we will be talking about those three aspect of the message. The first one, Lucifer fell amid precious stones that made him prideful. I'm sorry, my brother, you cannot read them. It's a little bit too small for you. Lucifer fell amid precious stones that made him prideful. Second, Sodom and Gomorrah fell because of abundance. Third, King Nebuchadnezzar fell in his arrogance. And fourth, America will fall. This is where the things will be a little bit hard. Did I say many times that America will be the last superpower on the planet? Yes. Did I say that China, Russia, and any other country on the planet cannot compete with America? Yes. Did I say that America will bring every human being, except for a few, to worship the beast? Yes, I did. But still, America will fall in its prideful prosperity. We are talking about Golden Age. Maybe during the Golden Age. Come on now. All right. So the first was about the fall of Lucifer. If the first is about Lucifer, let's go with me, please, to Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 to 18. Keep your book, your Bible open. That's why I do not put it on the screen. I need everybody to open their physical Bible. Not iPhone, not whatever you call it. Android, open your Bible. Leave it right there. We will go to Ezekiel and Genesis and probably to other places like Revelation. All right. What does the Bible say in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 to 18? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. You remember that? Okay, so whom is the Lord talking to here in this text? Lucifer. You will see it. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and what? Gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets, which is an instrument, and of thy pipes, instrument, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So God has prepared every single element that you see in this text before he created the devil. He was not the devil. His name was Lucifer. Lucifer is not the name that Satan has now. The name of Satan is Satan, or the serpent, or what? The devil. Okay? But before, his name was Lucifer. Okay? Now, the Bible says clearly what God created Lucifer with before he fell. Did you know that God has created America to be great? I'm just highlighting this for you. God has created America to be great. And probably you have heard many times someone repeating what? Okay, you don't want to say it. But this greatness has been perverted. This greatness has been perverted and becomes a weapon in its hand to destroy, to self-destroy, or to destroy itself. Now, we just read what God has created Lucifer with, and let's go to verse 14. Ezekiel 28, verse 14. This is going to be before the fall of Lucifer, who lately became what? Satan. 28 verse 14. What do you see? Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Now, let me stop right here. What is the holy mountain of God? I need to, you know, have some hearing problem. What is the holy mountain of God? Heaven. Yeah, heaven. But be more precise for me, please. Okay, yeah. I would take this better. This is the church of God in heaven. Okay. So when you talk about the church of God, you're talking also about the sanctuary. And Satan said, and the text said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Covereth what? The mercy seat in what? The Ark of the Covenant. What was in the inside of the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments of God, among others. Okay. So Satan is well acquainted with God, government. There is no government without the law. Don't forget that. There is no government without a set of law. Come on now. And I have said this so, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. The same terminology will come back where? Walking up and down. Where will you see this? In Job. And what did the devil say to the Lord when the Lord asked him, where art thou coming from? From the earth, walking up and down on it. Okay? Now, let's keep going. What do you see? Ezekiel 28, verse 15. This is perfection and iniquity. They do not go hand in hand. It is either you are perfect or you are what? Defiled with all kind of sin. It says, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. So when Lucifer was created, he was created perfect. And then, out of nowhere, what came up on surface? Sin. Iniquity. This is Ezekiel 18, verse 15. Let's go now to verse 15. To violence. Because we will see what caused Lucifer to fall. Verse 16. It says, by the multitude, you don't have it? You have it in your Bible, isn't it? By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. So God will do something to the devil. What is it? He will disfellowship him. This is something that is rarely seen in the church. You can do whatever you want to do. You will never be disfellowshipped. But God has disfellowshipped who? The devil. Where? In heaven. Why? Because iniquity was found in him. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O cherub, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now, the stones of fire are many different precious stones. We just named them. You just read them. Sapphire, carbuncle, topaz, gold, diamond, emerald, you name it. So many precious stones. Now, what's wrong with you? I don't know what's going on. Verse 17. What does it say? Verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Do you know that beautiful persons are prideful? Yes. They arrogant. Yes. They look down on people. Yes. They feel better than anybody else. Yes. Beautiful persons, male or female, rich people do the same. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Where did the devil get his brightness from? Beauty, but beauty, what caused him to be so beautiful? The stones that God has created to cover his body. I will cast thee to the ground I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. This is Ezekiel 28, verse 17. We can see that once Satan manifested his prideful attitude because of his beauty and of his covering made of all kinds of precious stones, he thought good to transgress the commandments of God. Don't forget, he was well acquainted, well knowledgeable in with what? In the law of God. He knew all the commandments. He thought good to transgress the commandments of God. He started with one that says, thou shalt not have what? Other gods before me. So Satan looks right and left, up and down. He believes that he was the best, and therefore he should set himself as God. What does the first commandment say? Exodus 20 verse 2. Thou shalt not have other gods before me. This is a pattern you will observe in every fall, both of a single person, a community, or a nation, of a human being, or an angel. Every time they fall, they transgress the commandments of God. At least one. At least one. Come on now. Okay. So let's go down now to verse 18. What does it say? Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary. The sanctuary is the body. Okay? Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thine iniquities. How many? I don't know. By the iniquity of thy traffic or merchandise. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. Where will the fire come from to destroy Satan? Where? Inside of himself. Satan has a fire inside of himself that he does not know anything of. Though the Bible says the fire will come out of you, inside of you. Wow. Having a fire inside of you and you are not burned yet, and Satan will be burned. You know it. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Now Ezekiel 28 verse 18 is clear that no one, the Catholic Church and the maybe, if I remember, the Protestant churches are preaching that, Catholic Church preaches that you will go to hell and you will stay there for how many years? Forever. That means you will never die. And what does the Bible say about the devil in the fire? What will the fire do of him? He will destroy him. And what does that mean? He will become ashes. That means Satan will not stay in the fire forever and ever. He will burn completely. He will die. All right. Don't allow anybody. If Satan dies, why should we stay in the fire forever? Who is the originator of sin? Is it not Satan? If God destroys him forever, he does not stay in the fire forever. Why should we? Now, this is the example of Satan that we have in the Bible. Let's see Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you read that? Prosperity is snare. Is America a prosperous country? Yes. If you were to go to a different country, many people in the garden would be so angry. No, so hungry, I'm sorry. so hungry. But in America, rare are those who are hungry, because we have plenty of everything that we need. Some people would throw. If you go to New York City, you would see in the street people leaving mattresses, all kind of furniture. You can go get them. Here, they sell them. But in New York City, they just throw them wherever, and you go get them, because nobody will buy them from you. We are rich. And now we are in a golden age that started when? Okay, everybody knows it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. Genesis 13, 1, 3, verse 10, 1, 0. Sodom and Gomorrah. What does it say? Genesis is the first book in the Bible. When you get there, please say amen. Some people say amen, they do not get it yet. All right. Say amen again. All right, oh, you get it. But Marilyn, you keep researching. Okay. Genesis, I'm sorry. Genesis 13, verse 10. What does it say? And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. What is the garden of the Lord? Okay, you may say the land of Egypt, but Eden. Like Eden, like Egypt, the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Okay. That was the case of Sodom and Gomorrah. How was it? Well watered, as the garden of the Lord. So well maintained it was. It was gorgeous as we have never seen before. The Bible calls it as the Garden of Eden, as the land of Egypt. All right. The question to ask is, what caused the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? What caused the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? Let's find out. Let's go to Genesis 13, verse 13. The Bible said that they were wicked exceedingly. Let's read. But the men of Sodom were what? Wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. There is no measure to the wickedness of Sodomites and Gomorrahites. What caused them to be like that? What does that mean? The word sinner may be very broad as to what area of sin is it referring to in this context. But we need to see. Let's go to Genesis 18, verse 20. Genesis 18, verse 20. Are you there yet? All right, thank you. What does it say? And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great. We saw multitudes of iniquity for the devil. Did we see that? We just saw that Satan has a multitude of sin. And in here, we see that in Genesis 13, verse 13, it says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So they inherit of the devil. Sodom and Gomorrah inherited of the devil. The same traits, the same moral characteristics were inherited by Sodom and Gomorrah. And now it says, And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very, very grievous. Wow. And if you were to go to Genesis chapter 6, you would see how was the mentality of the antediluvians. They were exceedingly wicked as well. Every time that the earth reaches a plateau, God intervenes. Now God will intervene in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah because their wickedness was very grievous. Okay. Now, let's go. It says brimstone and fire. Because God needs to visit upon them what? His wrath. Genesis 19, verses 24, 25. Genesis 19, 24, 25. Okay, what does it say? Then the Lord ran upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain. All the cities. Now, if you think about it, we should be preaching in big cities. I should be preaching in New York City. Not in the street, but big churches. Because this message needs to be heard by every American citizen, every people, every person that lives here. They need to know that the cities will be destroyed. History will repeat itself. You just need to look at California. Maybe some people who maybe will be mad at me because I said because of their wickedness. Read what happened to the antediluvian. God destroyed what first? Their riches, their wealth first in the flood. God destroyed them first before he destroyed the man. Now God has spared the life of those who live in California, but he destroyed their wealth so that they can repent. I'm not the only one knowing it. I'm not the only one saying it. They need to repent. Because the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the plain were destroyed because of sin. Grievous sin. And we will see those. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. In the time of Lot, in the time of Noah, how many saved out of the water into the ark? 8. In the time of Lot, how many saved? 3. It was 4. It was 4. And what happened to the fourth one? Look back. When you leave cities, you don't go back to city. I used to live in New York City. I don't see how I could go back to New York City. I don't see. And I bet many of you have never been to New York City. Okay, so let's keep going. What does it say? Let's go to Genesis 6, Ezekiel 16, verses 49, 50. You will see the reasons for the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel 16, 49 and 50. Other reasons for Sodom's destruction. What does the Bible say? Are you there yet? Thank you. Who say no? Not yet? All right, let's read. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Was Satan pride? Prideful, I'm sorry. Was Satan prideful? Yes. Now we're talking about what? Sodom and Gomorrah. Was Sodom prideful as well? Yes. Fullness of bread. Don't we have even too much bread? An abundance of idleness. When you have too much, you just sit down like the rich man who said, I have enough. Let me gather all my wealth in one. You call that what? Barn. You're laughing. Barn. And then what happens? I will sit down and I will say to my soul, eat, drink. That means you are not doing anything. You remember what caused David to sin? Idleness. Idleness. And I'm talking to everybody who say not doing anything. Find something to do. I accuse myself. Behold, this was iniquity. What happened to you? Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the land of the poor and needy. And they were haughty. What is haughty? The same thing as pride. And committed committed what? Abomination before me. You know what kind of abomination Sodom and Gomorrah were? What kind of lifestyle they were living in? Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Now, let me tell you something. Do you know why Sodom and Gomorrah fell in abomination? One of the causes is fullness of bread. Now, what does that mean? There are some people, when they have food, they eat all day, all night, without stopping. They take 3 or 4 meals every day. And in between, they have what? Snacks. This is called gluttony. When you are a glutton, you cannot think. Gluttony affects your brain. And Satan knows that when you eat too much, it is like alcoholic beverages. It will have a negative effect on your brain. Satan pushes people into eating too many times a day. Too much and much more. I cannot get into it now. And then they will commit all kind of sins. Like LGBTQRS plus. You know what plus means? They can add more. Now, you have pedophilia. They can add the P as well. If the state accepts pedophilia, they can add P. LGBTQRS P and then plus. Now, if there is animality, they can put A after P. LGBTQRS P A. And then if there's any, that's what plus means. They're willing to take in anybody. Why is that? They eat anything. They eat donkey. They eat alligators. They eat ostrich. They eat cat. I don't know. All kind of food. And then their brain cannot function. And if we do that, we will end up being in the same category. All right. Let's keep going. You computer, you're a problem. All right. Now let's go to King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, God, thank you. You're slowing down the clock for me. So if you think about that, this is truly a golden age. Let's go to Daniel 2, 28, 29, 30, 132. Daniel 2, 28, 29, 30, 132. Let's go. When you get it, just let me know. You got it? All right, can somebody stand up and read that for me? I will stop you every time. Go, 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 somebody. Go, go. Nani, go ahead. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Stop right here. What shall be what? Are we living in the latter days? Yes. And God has shown to whom? To a king. About 4,000 years, 3,000 years ago. God had shown to a king. Impious king. What shall take place at the end of time? In our time. Keep going. Okay. Okay. God has revealed what? The secret of the latter days to whom? To the king. But the king was not able to remember that vision or that dream, and was neither able to interpret that dream. Verse 31, Nani, keep going. Image. What did Nebuchadnezzar see? A great image. Okay, keep going. Okay, let me recall you that there will be a replicate of that image. It may not be physical, but spiritual. That was both physical and spiritual. But in our time, we will have a different type of image. All right, the last text, verse 32. Okay, so how was it? The Bible said the same thing. This image head was of fine gold. You see, the same riches comes back. The gold, and we're talking about the golden age, golden era. That's why we are living now. His breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass. And what happens? Verses, let me see. Let's see verses 33 to 35. 33 to 35. Keep reading. Okay, stop right here. What happens? During those kingdoms, there is a stone coming from heaven. And what does the stone do to the image? That great image. It is so strange to have a stone destroying a big image, and that stone was not even big. That stone will become big. But when the stone came, it was small and strikes the image where? At their feet. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer, threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. The stone represents who? Jesus, who will come to establish what? his kingdom. Where? On earth. But first, it will be in heaven. And then we will come back from heaven to the earth where we will live forever. The stone, I bet it is not a stone like those that we have here. It's a different stone. Because we saw many stones that were the covering of Lucifer, sapphire, emerald, gold, carbuncle, topaz. So the stone which represents Jesus Christ cannot be one of these. It has to be a better quality, a stronger, I don't even know. You see the stone? Beam. And then look at that. The gold. Now, you and I know that America is the golden country in the world. But when iron, clay, bronze, and silver were crushed, the iron fell also and was crushed, becoming what? Like ashes. Let's keep going. Verses, let's go to verse 36 to 38, 45 and 44 and 45. 36, 38, 44, 45. Let me read for you. This is the dream. We just read the dream, okay? And we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king, okay? Thou, O king, art a king of kings. We could say the same thing for the president of America. The president of America is a king of kings. Like lately, Donald Trump had a disagreement with the president of Colombia over sending back the illegal immigrants from here to Colombia. Colombia said, we will not take them. Donald Trump said, okay, I will increase the tax on you, the tariff on you, 10%. The president said, I will do the same thing. Donald Trump said, okay, fine. And then this man understood that Donald Trump is not playing. Donald Trump has never been someone who's playing. He said, okay, we can discuss. And then 10 hours later, I agree, you can send as many. The president of America is a king of kings. Okay, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven, this is Nebuchadnezzar, okay, has given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Oh, amen? Amen, brothers and sisters? The kingdom of God will never be destroyed. Will America be destroyed? Yes. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation sure. Now, don't forget, God says things that will take place in the latter days. And the Bible says the interpretation is sure, certain and sure, that every little bit of this vision or dream will come to pass. Let's keep going. We almost through. Let me see. Oh, okay. Nebuchadnezzar. That's verses, chapter 3, verses 1, 4 to 6. Chapter 3, 1, 4 to 6. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kind of music. Ye fall down and worship the golden image. The golden image. You fall down and worship what? The golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up. And whoso falling falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. You see, in the time of Satan, we see that God will burn Satan to ashes. You see that in the time of Lot, God has burned Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities into ashes. And you see also that God has predicted that he will burn those things and they will become ashes. No. I'm sorry. In this text, we see what happens. Nebuchadnezzar said what? Those who would not worship. Those who would not worship what? The image would be what? Cast where? Into the burning fiery furnace. All right. Here we see that because of his greatness given to him by God, the monarch Nebuchadnezzar thought he was God, or even higher than the true God, as Satan was. Nebuchadnezzar established his own religion, own worship, and forced people to worship his image. Will the same thing be repeated in our time? Has not America received power, strength, and glory? Has it not, as it was for Babylon of old, so it will for America of new. The fall of Babylon was not far distant from that time. The fall of Babylon, did I say? Okay. Now let's go to this one. Let's see what God says. The golden ages is back. No, the golden age is back. This is the last part of my message. The golden age is back. This is prophecy. I need you please to connect the dots. What does it say? If we go to 7 Bible commentary, it is not in the Bible. This is prophecy. Page 976, it says, when the Protestant churches shall unite with the secular power to sustain a false religion for opposing which their ancestors endured the fiercest persecution, when the state shall use its power to enforce the decrees, executive orders. Decrees are executive decision, actions, orders. When the state shall use its power to enforce the decrees and sustain the institutions of the church, because the state will obey whatever the church asks the state to do. I'm telling you, and this is on foot as I'm talking to you, then will Protestant America have formed an image? Did we talk about image earlier? Protestant America have formed an image to what? To the papacy. And there will be a national apostasy which will end only in a national ruin. Let me see if I can help you see that. Hopefully. Can we do that, God? Oh, we're almost through, eh? That's good. I don't know if I can show you. Oh, my God. I'm not that good. Okay. It seems that I cannot. So, you will see the Catholic Church mingling with Protestant Church and will ask the state to erect an image. The same image that Nebuchadnezzar had. Now, do you know this man? Nobody knows him? His name is Kevin Roberts. If you Google it, you will see he is the president of what? Heritage Foundation. Heritage Foundation. Everyone should by now be acquainted with this famous word of Donald Trump that he overly repeated before and after his second term as president. He talks about returning to the golden age for America. But where does this phrase originate from? Who is the author of this new golden age? Let's see. Unfortunately, you cannot see it. Heritage Foundation Kevin Roberts. On their website. Not on their website. You do heritage.com, something like that. I will tell you where you can get it from. Heritage.org/press. December 2, 2021. This is what Roberts says. The golden era of American conservatism will soon emerge. When did he say that? 2021, December 2. The golden era of American conservatism will soon emerge. He continues. Heritage Foundation Kevin Roberts today outlined a bold vision for conservatism and his priorities as Heritage new leader. Appearing in National Review, Roberts' essay is a sobering look at the state of American conservatism, but also a hopeful prescription on how the conservatism movement led by organizations like Heritage Foundation can emerge from a turbulent time even stronger and in position to take back the country. In position to take back the country from the radical left. Radical left. He wants to take the country from the radical left. When we talk about right and left in America, we talk about what is left in America? The Democrats. And when you talk about Democrats, you're talking about the far left. Radical far left. And when you talk about conservatism, what are you talking about? You talk about Republicans. And when you talk about Republicans, you also talk about far right. Democrat far left. Republican far right. So Kevin says, we will take America back from them. At that time, who was president? Biden. All right. When did he say that? 2021, December 2. Okay. He said, a long life educator, historian, and movement conservatism, Roberts is taking the helm of Heritage Foundation after successfully leading the Texas Public Policy Foundation and previously serving as president of Wyoming Catholic College. So if I were to ask you, what is his religion? What will you tell me? He is Catholic. Okay. But he has many evangelicals with him. Okay? And it says, he's also the founder of John Paul, the Great Academy, a K-12 Catholic liberal arts school in Lafayette, Louisiana. There's no time to tell you that almost all the decrees that our honorable President Trump has passed come from the handbook of the Heritage Foundation. As I'm talking, we're about to finish. And we have here what she said. 7 Bible Commentary, 977. When our nation in its legislative councils shall enact laws to bind the consciences of men in regard to their religious privileges enforcing Sunday observance and bringing oppressive power to bear against those who keep the seven-day Sabbath, the law of God will, to all intents and purposes, be made void in our land, and national apostasy will follow by national ruin. Now, we know the ruin of the devil when he was in heaven after rebelling against God. We know the fate of the antediluvians because of their wickedness. We know also about the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah. What is the fate, F-A-T-E, of America when they will force us to keep a first day of worship, which is not, we should never be Sunday. This Sunday is never the day that God has given in the Bible to keep us holy. Never. Nowhere in the Bible. You will find it. You will find it in the writings of the evangelicals of the Catholic Church, like in the catechism. You will find it there. But you will never find it in the Bible. Still, according to the Bible, they will force their will upon us. Every human being will have to decide whether they will do what Nebuchadnezzar has said to the four young men. What did he say to the four young men? If you do not worship the golden image, I will throw you immediately where? In the burning fiery furnace. The same thing will be said unto us. If we do not keep this day as day of rest, as Catholic Church and Protestant churches want, you will be killed. This is biblical. Brothers and sisters, it is high time to preach those messages to the world that they may know the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. America will fall on its knees as soon as they enforce Sunday law. We just read it twice. I have many other quotes that I could read for you to show you. As soon as America enforces Sunday law, and then the president poses what? His seal on it. America will fall. History will repeat itself. What has been will be. So, my brothers and sisters, do not trust in the golden age. In the time of the antediluvian, they have many, many, many riches, many stones, many precious stones. Still, God destroyed them. In the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were rich, exceedingly rich, so, to the point that God called the plain as the garden of the Lord himself. They were destroyed. In the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the same thing happened. God destroyed them. What tells you that God will not destroy America? Let us be watchful and prayerful. Let us worship God and not human being. Let us keep up our Bible high and strong, that one day when they come with their fake law, no one of us will bow down. And when Jesus comes, even if they throw us in the burning fiery furnace, no one will recant. No one will forfeit their eternal life for those things. God bless you.